like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call, especially those of you who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We welcome you to our worship services this morning. We want to thank God for giving us the Bible, and we can know that God gave his Son, and his Son died on the cross, shed his blood, and washed our sins away in baptism, and add us to his church, the Church of Christ, the only one you ever read about in the Bible. So if you're visiting with us, you are the VIP of our audience. We pray you obey that gospel today, that you too can be added to that one church, the Church of Christ. We thank you for joining us. Those of our brothers and sisters across the nation may be joining us. We appreciate you being on as well. This is the Lord's Day, first and foremost. God has blessed us to see this day. Certainly want to give God the glory. The Lord's Day, but man has also set aside this day to honor mothers, which is a great honor. Just like to say to all the mothers on the call, Happy Mother's Day to you. We pray you're blessed as a mother. And I give everyone what my mother always told me to stuck with me. And I tell this to the children on the call and those who have a mother living, my mom told me, you only get one mother. And when I'm gone, you don't get another. So treat your mother like you love her. Give her that special attention that mothers deserve. And remember that one day she may not be here with you, but you can certainly celebrate the fact that she's here with you now and give her the love she so much deserves. This morning, in Acts chapter 19, we continue our study of the book of Acts. When they heard this, they were baptized. When they heard this, they were baptized. Acts chapter 19 and verses number 1. The Bible said it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. So these were disciples, pupils, or followers of Christ. Paul enters Ephesus and finds some of those followers there. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. So he asked them, and I ask you this morning, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Notice their response. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. There's a hearing required here, and that's what my title is. When they heard this, they were baptized. There's a hearing that should be emphasized throughout this lesson about obedience. And you got to hear what to do to be saved. And so they said, they're not so much a herd. And so he said unto them, verse 3, he questioned them. He said, now here comes a question. And then, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, so here's the first point I want to make, is that baptism should be questioned. If you were baptized, it does not mean you were baptized with the correct baptism. There's only one right baptism. And so you should question that. And this sermon answers the question that some may have, that you could have been baptized before, but you're still not saved. Now, their response in this case was, they said unto John's baptism, Paul the Apostle questions these disciples, and they willingly responded to the question with the knowledge that they had. Now, if I question your baptism, as Paul questioned their baptism, it's for the sake of ensuring that your soul is saved. If you're a first-time visitor, not a member of the Church of Christ, a member who did not obey from the heart, I question your baptism. Some people today don't want you to question their baptism. They believe no matter when they got baptized or where they got baptized or why they got baptized, that baptism counts. Well, the Bible certainly is teaching here a different story. Now, people when they need to be questioned are people who were baptized under false doctrine or false teaching in churches that are not in the Bible. Teaching for doctrine, the commandments of men. People who need to be baptized, or people who done it with wrong motives in mind. And I will explain and give more examples later in the lesson. Or when one's conscience is not answered or clear, walking around with doubt about your baptism. You don't want to get on your deathbed and not be sure that your baptism is valid. And we can see, be here, this is a good point right here, to see that Paul questioned these disciples, even though they were followers of Christ. He questioned their baptism. So, but some of our liberal brethren in the churches of Christ are accepting people who were baptized in denominational churches or under denominational doctrines, but not Brother Brooks. I'm not in that list of men who believe like that. We will not handshake anyone into the church at Highland Heights or while I'm preaching there. Won't no one come in and say, I was baptized in the Baptist church, and so I want to be a member here. No, that baptism is not valid in my mind. Until what then were you baptized? When they heard this, they were baptized. They had to hear something different because the baptism they thought saved them, Paul preached to them a different message than John's message. But too much risk for me to take that blood on my shoulder. Now, I see the brother out there can do it, but not Brother Brooks. Not Brother Stroud. We're not going to do that. When you look at this text, we know that baptism is essential to salvation. Always advise and insist that one be baptized, listen carefully now, based on truth only. Truth only. I believe there is only one right baptism, and it is the one based on the truth and according to the truth. Somebody asks, what happened the first time if I got baptized? Well, you could have got baptized 10 times wrong. 10 times you got wet, but you never was saved. Now, let's look at this text and answer the question as to why these disciples had to be baptized the second time. And verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's a question mark. They said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. There was some missing information. They had not been taught certain things. These men had not been taught about the Holy Ghost. And so verse 3, he said unto them, unto what then, Paul said, if you wouldn't talk that, what then were you baptized? And then they come back with their answer, unto John's baptism. Now, this is John the Baptist. John the Baptist did baptizing, and John the Baptist was baptizing while Jesus was still alive. This is very important to understand why John's baptism did not work for these people. Now, this is the closest you're going to get to ever find a Baptist church in the Bible. It wasn't a Baptist church. Look at Matthew 3 in verse 1. This man, his name was John. In Matthew 3, 1, you're trying to get there. The Bible says, in those days came John the Baptist. That don't mean he was in the Baptist church. That doesn't mean what he did was baptizing the people, preaching in the wilderness, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. This is key. This is before Jesus died, making his path straight. Verse 4, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girded about his loins. His meat was locusts and wild honey. Still talking about John the baptizer. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in Jordan. Confessing, know what they're saying? They were not confessing. They believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God because Jesus was not dead yet. They were confessing sin. And so today to be saved, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits, meats for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree which bring not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Here you go. I indeed, talking about John, this is John speaking, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that come after me is mightier now, talking about Jesus, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will probably purge his floor, thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his feet in the garner. But he will burn up chaff with unquenchable fire. You don't want the baptism of fire. You don't want that one. You want the baptism of water. Amen. Then come Jesus. Here comes Jesus on the scene. What John is still speaking. Jesus shows up from Galilee to Jordan unto John. What did Jesus show up to be? To be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me? He said, oh no. Why are you coming to me? He knew who Jesus was. He said, you need to baptize me. And Jesus answered him to him and said, suffer it to be so now. Do it now. For it thus becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered him. He told John, you do it. This will fulfill all righteousness. Then watch what happened. When he was baptized, some magnificent things start to happen. When he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Notice he was in water. I don't understand why they wanted to question water. If Jesus went in the water, he didn't question water. Why would anyone question water? And lo, the heavens opened unto him. Notice who shows up. There's Jesus, the Son of God. And he saw the Spirit of God. There go the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Here come the Father, low voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit endorsed this baptism. Was Jesus baptized for remission of sin? Absolutely not, because Jesus had no sin. He knew no sin. So what was John's baptism for? In Mark chapter 1. Let's go over there now. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. Mark 1 and verse 4. John did baptize in the wilderness, preaching a baptism, what? Of repentance for the remission of sins. There's a difference between the baptism today and the baptism John was administering. It was for the remission of sins. It was baptism of repentance. He came all into all the country by Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Was his baptism valid before Christ's death, burial, and resurrection? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, yes. So what happened with these disciples then in Acts 19? Why did they have to be baptized again? And I want to apply this. How does that apply to us today? They had to be baptized again. And so they said they had been baptized unto John's baptism. Let's go back over there and look at that. Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized now in the name of the Lord. Now, were there those who, before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, did they get baptized with the baptism of John? Did they have to go back and get baptized all over? Listen to the Bible now. John's baptism differs from the baptism of Jesus. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as Paul, the only apostle we know about, that was baptized for the remission of sins like we are today. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, the apostle Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, that keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, with that which I also received. Paul said, and did this happen to me? How did Christ die for our sins? No, he's talking about, this is after Jesus' death. He died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. John the Baptist could not preach that message because Jesus was standing there alive with him. John couldn't preach what Paul is preaching. John couldn't preach what I preach today because Jesus was still alive. There is a major difference between John's baptism and the baptism you and I get today. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scripture. Notice this. After that, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present. But some are fallen asleep. How did they become brethren? All of these people here had to have the baptism of John. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, was seen of me, one born out of due time. For I am least of the apostles. I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they are. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. What they preach, he preached the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They had to hear the death, burial, and resurrection story called the gospel in order to be saved. They had to believe it. They had to hear it and believe it. That's why Paul said, unto what then were you baptized? He asked them. See, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of faith in a coming Jesus, a Savior that was on the way. Christian baptism today is repentance, of faith in a Savior that has come. He died and he's risen from the grave. He's been exalted in heaven and he gives us command in the name of the three that showed up at his baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He enjoys only the promise of remission of sin. But of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, John's baptism was repentance, faith in the coming Savior. Big difference. When we are baptized, it's because we believe that Jesus was on the cross and he died on that cross without us ever seeing it. So you have to hear this. When they heard this, what did they hear? Paul was teaching them that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That's what I teach every week. Every time I preach the gospel. That's called the gospel of the suffering Savior on the cross. So Paul, in verse 4, Paul said, John verily baptized with baptism and repentance. We've proven that using the scripture. Saying unto the people, they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, O Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of by the authority of Jesus. Here it is. John's baptism was valid up to the point that Jesus resurrected with a command. John's baptism could not be preached because there was no blood shed when John seen him coming. John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus was the Lamb, and that Lamb had to be killed. He had to die. That Lamb had to shed blood before anybody could preach baptism and being washed in the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. There's the scripture right there. What was he coming to do? Take away the sins of the world. And he came, y'all. He came and walked among men 30-some years, 33 thereabout, and they killed him. They crucified him on the cross. It was on that cross that he shedded the blood that he'd be able to say he shedded blood. And then after he shedded blood, he died on the cross. He was buried, and then he resurrected with the new command. The new command, these disciples that Paul is talking to, did not obey this new command. After Christ's resurrection came the new command that was authorized by him. That's what he means. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And when they heard what? When they heard the gospel, when they heard the command that Jesus commanded, it's recorded in Matthew 28 and the verses number 18. Matthew 28:18, the Master, Jesus Christ, gives the command. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, watch it now, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Father, and Jesus has authorized baptism to save mankind today. Then he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then in Mark's account, in Mark 16 and the verses number 15, he said unto them, here comes Jesus again through Mark's account. Tell his disciples, apostles, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and heals. Here comes the command, baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Believe not, you won't believe in baptism. Believe not, you won't believe in Jesus' command. Believe not, you won't believe in one church. If you believe not, you won't believe nothing in the Bible is right, because you don't believe it. So you can't be saved if you don't believe. You say, well, I believe in Jesus. How are you going to believe in Jesus and you never saw him? You believe in Jesus, it's only because of this book. So if you believe in anything in this book is wrong, then how can you believe in your Jesus? He's the one in the book. You never was there. You never saw him. None of us saw him. Well, our own eyes, faith comes about hearing. When they heard this, it's what they heard. Romans 10:17, faith comes about hearing. Our belief today that Jesus actually hung on the cross, that there was a master in Jerusalem, is not because none of us was there present to see it and witness it with our own eyes. It's only because of this book called the Bible. Now, if you're going to say, well, I obey Jesus, but I don't. The only thing I need to be baptized. Let me just be one to tell you. If you nobody ever tell you, you are considered an unbeliever, and you're gonna be shocked on the day of judgment. What do you say, Brother Bruce? I said again. You are an unbeliever, and you're gonna lose your soul. You got to decide what you're gonna base your. You're gonna die. Man. You're gonna die. No doubt about that. You're gonna die. Jesus is gonna come back one or two. What are you gonna base your belief on? Of what are you basing it on? Where did that belief you have come from? How can a person say they believe in Jesus and don't believe in baptism? Where did it come from? That came from somebody. That didn't come from the Bible. And I'm going to tell you, the shock going to be on the day of judgment. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. These are believers. These people thought they were saved. They believed in Jesus. Jesus said, many of them were saying to me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. They did all these things in the name of Jesus. Good people. Jesus said in verse 23, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. You're a worker of iniquity. What's a worker of iniquity? They're doing things under their own law and don't follow the law of Christ. You got to do what Jesus said in order to be saved. You can't go around talking about what Reverend Joe said. Father so-and-so said. It's not about what Brother Brooks say. It's about what the Bible say. Did Brother Brooks teach you what the Bible say? You don't hang your hat on what I say. You hang your hat on what the Bible say. That's what you hang your hat on. Your soul is too important to hang it on mama. I love my mother, but my mother didn't die for me. I love my dad, but he didn't die for me. I'm not going to hang my soul salvation on my mother's belief if my mother's belief didn't come from the Bible. Many people in the world doing that. You know, if it's good enough for mama, it was good enough for me. That's a foolish statement. It's a foolish statement. It's not about who is good enough for. It's what's good enough for. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. That's what should be the answer, because Jesus was the one who died, not mama, not daddy, not Uncle Joe. No. Jesus died. And if you believe in Jesus, then that's the one you should be listening to. There's going to be many of us. The loved ones that we love are going to stand before judgment, going up there believing something that they never read for themselves. When they heard this, they were baptized. When they heard the truth. When you hear the truth and you're seeking the truth, nothing I'm saying will bother you. But if you don't believe the truth, everything I'm saying will bother you. Everything I'm saying, you don't like how I call you an unbeliever, because you're not. You know, the truth hurts, but it'll also set you free. It'll set you free. So anyone obeyed or was taught John's baptism after this command was not taught the truth. That's what happened to these people in Acts 19. Who taught these men in Acts 19? Let's go back and look. It's not clear, but it's possible if we go to Acts 18:24. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scripture, no, he knew Bible, came to Ephesus. Found a certain disciple. He came to Ephesus. And this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the spirit. He spake diligently the things of the Lord, knowing, notice this now, knowing only the baptism of John. That word only is right there. This is a preacher who had been preaching to people at that time. The only message he knew about was the baptism of John. So is it possible that this man taught those 11 that's going to get baptized? Look at this. Here's a preacher still preaching the baptism of John after Christ's resurrection and the new command had been given. Now, this preacher had an attitude that was positive. Look at this preacher. In verse 26, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, with whom went Aquila and Priscilla. Notice this, husband and wife team, working to teach this preacher he was wrong. There are husband and wife on the call today that team up to help people who are lost. I mean, is there a husband and wife that team up to help each other? Think about that. How many of you husband and wife really work together to save souls? How many of you husband and wives are working to save each other's souls? How many husband and wives on here spend time studying together? How many husband and wives spend time worshiping together? How many husband and wives spend time teaching other people? Isn't that a good question for a married couple? You know, if you think about this, if you are married and God is not first, this is a way to determine it. You don't study together. You don't teach others together. You don't talk about Jesus together. So what's the priority in your marriage? What's the priority in your home? What did your children see? What do they know about mama's mother today? Would they say my mother was a woman who could pull someone to the side and teach them a perfect way? Would they say my mother is a mother who's faithful to God? Would they say my mama is a mama that I saw in worship service every Sunday? What would they say about you, Mom? What would your children have to say? At your death, what would they say? Would they say my mom was a faithful woman? Would they have to say, I hope my mama went to heaven? Would they say, I can tell y'all one thing about my mom, she was faithful. I was talking to a young lady yesterday about, she lost a parent, called me for some advice. He said what her daddy had done for her while he was living. And I said, you know, the greatest thing your dad did for you? He said, what's that, brother? Gave you a foundation of faith, a belief system that you could hold on to. All of us, mom and dad, they're giving our children a belief system that's based on truth. I've done nothing else for my wife, nothing else for my children. I gave them a belief system What do you mean gave it to them? I taught them what the Bible taught. Now, they got to live it. Not what I'm talking about. But my greatest gift to my children is the foundation of faith. Because when times get tough, and yes, they get tough when you lose your mama, that's a tough feeling. But you never lost God. It's a tough feeling to lose a loved one. But when you have a foundation of faith, you didn't lose God. So I pause here for this call. Why not talk to a mama? Maybe a mama today on the call. You don't do this. It's a mother's thing. Are you the mama? That's spiritual? Are you this mother like Aquila and Priscilla? You see you working with dad, with their dad, and you all are faithfully serving God. Let's just talk about married couples all together. Well, the children, just take them off the table for a while and just say, I mean, married couples on here are really enjoying the spiritual relationship with God and each other. You know, if you can't enjoy each other, you're really probably not going to enjoy a spiritual relationship either. And I know this happens in marriages where we grow apart and we don't enjoy each other anymore. But that's a relationship that needs to be mended. Because if you can't help each other, you're certainly not going to be able to help anyone else. So, that was a team there. So they take this man unto them and expound it unto him a way of God, the way of God more perfectly. See, maybe someone on the call today, you've been baptized before, but not based on truth. And you need to know the way of the Lord more perfectly. What do you mean, brother? Something that's imperfect means it's not quite accurate. It's imperfect. You need to know the Lord more perfectly. It's important. In verse 27, he says, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, talking about this man that was taught Apollos, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scripture that Jesus was Christ. Notice the change. This preacher didn't get mad at Aquila and Priscilla. He didn't start arguing back about baptism. He didn't start saying, nah, that baptism ain't necessary. He didn't start saying, these people were baptized, right? He didn't say none of that. When he was shown that he was wrong, he changed. And that's what people are going to be saying. They'll let go of their pride. And they will do it the way God said do it. After Apollos learned better, the Bible said he mightily started convincing the Jews. What did he have? He had to go back and say, the baptism of John don't work, you all. That's not the truth. We got this wrong. Seems like men who are in the churches where they preach that baptism is not essential would let go of their pride and say, we are wrong and the Bible is right. Men out there telling people to be saved by preaching, praying the sinner's prayer have to let go of their pride and say, we are wrong and the Bible is right. People out there who are saying that baptism is not essential and do not save Should read 1 Peter 3:21, where it says baptism does also now save us. Should let go of their pride and preach mightily the truth to save their own souls and others who will hear them. Let's go back to 19, Acts 19. Let's look at the response of the men who had already been baptized under John's baptism when they found out they were wrong. Let's go back to verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ. I'll show that. When they heard this, they were baptized. That's my title. When they heard the truth, they got baptized. That's baptism number two, you know. They had already had baptism of John, so now they're baptized again. But this time, in the name of by the authority of Jesus, and there's the difference. The command that John had wasn't the command that Jesus taught. Jesus gave a command and authorized it, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go teach all nations, direct command, baptizing them. And when Paul had laid his hand upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Look at that. After Paul preached, it were 12 people lost when Paul asked that question. These 12 men learned the truth about the Holy Spirit. They were baptized again. Why? Because John's baptism could not save them after Jesus shed his blood on the cross. And they learned about it. Now today, no apostles are living to administer the miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of speaking in tongues and working miracles. This has ceased to stop, according to 1 Corinthians 13:8. Or you can go back to my sermon, Acts 1 and 2, and I talked about tongue speaking, where that comes from, and why. You don't see none of that today, because no one today gets the baptism of the Holy Spirit. No one today can have the hands laid on by an apostle, because there are no apostles living. So that you can go back to some other lesson for more information on miracles. But that's why Paul laid his hand on them. That was a miraculous measure of the Holy Spirit. What do we today need to know? What do you today, if you're on the call, need to know? What do members of the Church of Christ need to understand about the Holy Spirit today? Well, Peter in Acts chapter 2 preached the first gospel sermon to carry out the command Jesus had given to go teach all nations, baptizing them. So after the death, burial, and resurrection, the Apostle Peter is the first one to preach the first message for this baptism for the remission of sins, to be washed in the blood of Jesus. In Acts 2:36, it said, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus when you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's now both Lord and Christ. He said, this is the man y'all killed. When they heard this, when they heard what? They had killed Jesus, who was now Lord and Christ. They were pricked in their heart. They were cut. Their hearts were pierced, their minds. It said, unto Peter, can't you hear him? And the rest of the apostles, oh my Lord, men and brothers, what shall we do? They just not realized they had killed the Savior of the world. Here's what Peter's response to them was. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, there it is, for the remission of sins. He gave the command Jesus told them to do. He said, who authorized it? Jesus. What is it for? Remission of sins. What you got to do before you get baptized? Repent. You got to change. You got to make a decision. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptism today is for the remission. You and I have to get baptized for the remission, or that remission means forgiveness of sin. And then we can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me give you that gift of the Holy Spirit answer. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit is going to come inside of you and start controlling you. The Holy Spirit gave us what we call the Bible, the Word of God. And when you obey the Word of God, you obey the Holy Spirit. So what is the gift? The Holy Spirit is not the gift. Here's the gift. It's Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Watch it now. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. You know, we obey the Bible. We obey the Holy Spirit. And the gift that comes with obedience to the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Because the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy God, Holy Ghost, and one God. So the gift of God is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is the gift of Jesus Christ. Because they are one. And the gift is eternal life. But you can't have it without with the sins in your life. Your sins got to get washed away because sin separates you from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. The Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, neither is your evident that he cannot hear. But your iniquities are separated between you and your God. And your sins, watch it now, have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's what's the problem. Your sins got to be washed away. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Hebrews 9, 22. So what washes away sin? What's in baptism that makes all this happen? Well, the Bible teaches us what happens. Is it just the water doing it? No, not just the water. But I want, in John, the Bible teaches us that when Jesus was on the cross, the soldiers pierced him in the side, and out came blood and water. The two things that came out of the Savior's side. Isn't that interesting? John 19:34. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came blood and water. You want to take the mixture of the blood and water that came from the Savior's side. That same mixture will save you. You say, well, brother, what are you saying? There's blood in the water. In Revelation 1, verse 5, the Bible teaches us. Jesus says it. In Revelation 1, verse 5, from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kingdom of the earth, watch this, unto him that loved us and washed us, underline this, from our sins, were in his own blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Who's going to go to heaven? Who's going to heaven? In Revelation chapter 7, the Bible says, there was a question answered there. He said, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. He had asked him, who are these arrayed in these white robes? These are they who came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Take the blood and the water. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man there who wanted to be baptized. He was a eunuch. Acts 8, Philip was sent to him, and he preached unto him Jesus. And they came to certain water, and the man said, hey, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Now, when he preached unto him Jesus, Philip told him he had to be baptized in water. That's called a necessary inference. So when he saw the water, he asked the priest, man, here's the water. What's stopping you from baptizing him? So Philip told him, well, if you believe, Acts 8:36, he said, see, here's water. What's hindering you from, what's stopping you from doing what you told me you had to do to save me? Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, back to them believers, am I talking about, you're unbeliever if you don't believe in baptism. You're unbeliever if you don't believe in baptism. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He answered, said, notice what he said. He didn't say, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart. He didn't confess no sins. He said, I believe. Here comes his confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What must you confess before you be baptized? You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If you're in a church like what I grew up in the Baptist church, good people, all wonderful people, all my family, many people. I barely remember it, but they didn't baptize us the same day. All we had to say, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. They say, hey, everybody saved. We're baptized when we get enough of them. Notice this. Philip asked this man, what you believe? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And Philip then commanded the chair to stand still. Notice this. They both went both down into water. He didn't take no water, sprinkled on top of his head. So if you're on the call today, you've been sprinkled. That's not baptism in the Bible. They went down into the water. Both Philip and the eunuch, the baptizing man was Philip. The man who needed to be baptized was considered a eunuch. And the preacher baptized him. What was the preacher doing? Keeping the command of the Lord and Jesus, our Savior. The command he gave was if they believe it, baptize him. What Brother Bush going to do? If they believe it, baptize them. Well, I'm going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? What must be your answer? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. When you step into the water, you're stepping in there by faith. Faith comes by hearing. That's why I keep emphasizing. Hearing it in this message. When they heard, they were baptized again. When you hear and you believe what you hear, then your faith kicks in based on what the scripture teaches, that their baptism, it takes water and blood, and you step in the water believing that the Bible is right and the blood of Jesus is going to wash your sins away because you obeyed him in baptism, where you ain't going to see no blood in there. You don't see nothing red. Now, when you go down under the water, you hold your breath. And they'll bury you under that water. And under that water, God does all the work. He cleans you up with the blood of Jesus. And then when you come up, you take your first breath as a babe in Christ. If you have not taken your first breath as a babe in Christ, that means you were not buried in water for the remission of your sins. And you are not saved, my friend. And Brother Brooks told you, you can't get there on the day of judgment and say, I didn't know. No, it's recorded today. It's on your record that I told you. It's on your record. And that's what I try to preach, so that you can't have no excuse on the day of judgment. I didn't know you had to be about that. That's not true now. That's not the truth. Let's not get up there and throw a line. I told you, I'm reading it to you. You didn't believe it. That's what you can tell God. I didn't believe it. Just tell him that. Be honest. So who should be baptized again today? How does this apply to us? Those who were baptized, number one, under false teaching, false doctrine. If you're in any modern day denominational church that you cannot read about in the teaching of the New Testament church, you have not been saved. I am not preaching. There are Christians in every church building you walk into. No, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. I'm telling you what I'm teaching this morning is any doctrine that did was not given by Jesus is considered vain. Jesus said in Matthew 15:8, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth, honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Notice this. It's the heart. He's talking about the mind. They don't know what they're doing. And he said in these, their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. If you were in, like I was in the Baptist church, that didn't come from God. That came from man. Methodist church came from man. Catholic church came from man. Why are you saying all this, Brother Brooks? You're talking about my family. I'm talking about my family, too. I'm talking about me. I can talk about me. You just don't listen. Don't they worry about your family. Let me talk about my family. My family didn't know better. My family wasn't told. My little brother died not knowing what I'm telling you. This is why I became a preacher. Not so you'll like me. Not so you'll pat me on the back. Not so you can call me Reverend. Not to have a special parking spot. Not to drive a Cadillac. Not to wear a robe. I didn't do it for that reason. I did it because they didn't tell us. And I'll take that off the table to any of my listening audience. Because I'm going to tell every time I stand up, it doesn't matter what the setting is. I'm going to tell everybody. Because people need to know these truths. Or their souls are going to be lost. And any preacher who won't do it, nah, I don't have a lot of respect for them. We are to tell people when they're wrong, just like we need to know when we're wrong. And it comes down to us. If you can see yourself, then you know you're wrong. You got to make the change before you can help somebody else. If you are in churches that are not in the Bible, for example, if you're in a church that you were not baptized the same day, say, you know, and that's what happens in many of these churches. They'll say, you say, you accepted Jesus. Billy Graham, them famous for it. Joel Osteen, he's famous for this. You'll find your church and get baptized. You're saved right now. And that's nowhere in the Bible, y'all. That's nowhere in the Bible. They were not saved right now. In Acts 2:41, the Bible talks about the same day they baptized. Why would they wait? Did somebody wait 2 weeks on you? You say, when I was baptized, I know I remember going down and get baptized. And a few weeks later, they baptized. They didn't baptize us that same day. You are lost. That first baptism, you just got wet. You're just like these people in Acts 18. You wouldn't talk perfectly. You wouldn't talk truth, holistic truth. Understand this. Baptism puts you into Christ, which is into his church. That's the other piece you need to understand. When you're baptized to be, your sins be washed away, but you're put into the church that Jesus died for. You're added to it, Acts 2:47. Notice 1 Corinthians 12:12. But as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So what is the body? What is the body? What is the body? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. When you go to Ephesians chapter 1 or Colossians 1:18, you can go there and you'll find out what the body is. When you find out what the body is, you'll know exactly what Paul was talking about when he said one body. Ephesians 1:22, listen to this. I'm going a little slow here so you can get it. Listen to this. This is primarily to members outside that are not members of the Church of Christ, visitors. And put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church, with a comma, which is his body. So the church is his body. Okay, go to Ephesians 4:4, my friend. Let's look at 4:4. Now that you know the church is his body, he comes back in chapter 4 and said there is one body. So if the church is his body, there's one body, which means there's one church. You can't say any church and do and believe this book. You can only say one. One body, one spirit, one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. So if you had three baptisms, then only one doesn't save you. And back to 1 Corinthians 12:13, he said that. That's what Paul was teaching him. He said, now, for by one spirit, that's the spirit that gave you the Bible, we are all baptized into the one body, which is the church. We just proved that. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one spirit. But now, verse 20, drop down to verse 20. And now there are many members, yet but one church, one body. Verse 27, now ye are the church of Christ. Now ye are the body of Christ, If church means body, it's the same thing here. Ye are the body, ye are the church of Christ. Which church in the Bible? The church of Christ. Well, they don't say, that's a body, right? But if you believe the Bible, you would have believed when I showed you Ephesians 1:22 that the body is the church. You would have believed Ephesians 4:4 when I said there is one body, the body is the church. Colossians 1:18 tell us the body is the church. Colossians 1:24 tell us the body is the church. The Bible don't have to say it 100 times. It meant that the first time it said it. So which church is in the Bible? Romans 16:16. Paul said it directly then. Romans, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. What church am I talking about today? It's the church of Christ. Who are saved that was in the church of Christ? How did they get into the church of Christ? They were baptized into Christ. When were they baptized in Christ? When they believed that Jesus died on the cross, when they heard the gospel. They were buried with him by baptism into his death. The like of Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Paul said, even so we also should walk in newness of life. It's Romans 6:4 through the following verses. Colossians 2:12. We're buried with him in baptism. Wherein ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. See, God, all the operations take place, God's action take place under the water. When you go under the water, that's when you're saved. If you are baptized, and here's another example of those who need to be baptized again. The first group I was talking about, those who were baptized and ended up in some denominational church, your baptism was invalid. You was under some false teaching. Number two, if you were baptized and became a member of the church, and the motive was wrong, that baptism was invalid. You know, some people, and I know this to be a fact, there's some people that are members of the Church of Christ, but they wanted to get married, and their members of the church told, hey, we can't marry unless you're in the church. I've seen it and witnessed it, which is the wrong thing to do if you're dating someone. What I mean by wrong thing to do, you need to be telling them they need to believe like you believe and show them what you believe. Here's what I believe as a member of the Church of Christ. I believe, here's what the Bible says. There's one church. I believe one must be baptized to get in. I believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross. Do you believe that? Well, no, not really. I believe in Jesus, though. Oh, good. I'm glad you know you believe in Jesus. We can get married. No. Well, okay, then I get baptized. That's what it takes to marry you. Nah, Roman. If you did that and you got baptized to marry that man, you lost. If you got baptized just to marry that woman, you lost. Your baptism is invalid. You're baptized for the remission of your sin because you believed that Jesus died and suffered on the cross to save your soul. And you obeyed him. Not obeying the woman you want to marry or the man you want to marry. You obeyed him. Your baptism is invalid. I'm telling you. I would not stand on judgment at that baptism. Brother Brooks, I'm advising you. You can do it if you want to. See what the outcome is going to be. But I don't believe God is of no respect to person. He cannot lie. He will not lie. It was him who said these things I'm teaching today. So in closing, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, who are not saved, need to be baptized again. Those who did it with wrong motives, or those who said, you know, I was young, and I don't even remember why I did it. Man, how are you going to be at peace on your deathbed? You don't even know if you did it right. You don't even know why you did it. So like, come to me, Brother Bruce. Anyone who comes to me, Brother Bruce, I'm not sure. I said, well, you know what? The Bible says this. The like figure, 1 Peter 3:21, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Watch this. Not to put away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You should understand what you did and why you did it. And you shouldn't walk around guessing, oh Lord, I hope my baptism was right. That means your conscience is not clear. Here's Brother Brooke now. Every preacher may not teach this. I don't. That's me. This is what I say. If your conscience is not clear, don't let nobody stop you from doing it again if you need to. That's your soul. That's your soul. That everybody asks me, that's going to be my standard answer. It's your soul. Take the chance you want to. Live with a guilty conscience you want to. Live with doubt if you want to. Or believe it. That you obeyed the truth. You're baptized. You're in the Church of Christ. You take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You worship without instrumental music. You give it. Or you're hearing the preached word. Are you learning from a catechism? Are you learning from the Baptist manual? Are you learning from the Methodist discipline? Or are you learning from the Bible? Because that's the only book that got all the right answers in it. And that's the message. What did they hear? They heard the truth. And when they heard the truth, they were baptized. Have you heard the truth this morning? Yeah, well, I hear some of this, I don't believe. Well, you're an unbeliever. That's why you don't believe. That's what unbelievers do. They don't believe. Boy, that's where you are. That's the category you're in. I'm speaking the truth in love. I'm not trying to be mean to you. That's where you are. You're an unbeliever. Never be saved like that. You will never be saved. Well, I just believe like my daddy. Well, that's an unbeliever. Believe like your daddy don't save you. If your daddy was wrong, he was wrong. So if you truly understand what I'm teaching today, I'm teaching that you got to be saved by obeying the truth. And if you take five baptisms, when you find yourself, brother, I've already been baptized four times before this one. I was in the Church of Christ. I was in the Church of God in Christ. I had one leg done. I've been in the Church of God in Christ. I've been to the Methodist. I've been to Jehovah's Witnesses. And here I am with you now. I said, well, you know, the Bible says in John 4:24, Jesus said 23, the hour come and now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. No, it's this now. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is the Spirit. And they that worship him must worship in the Spirit and in truth. When you seek truth, you'll find it. Jesus, seek and you shall find. When you listen to Brother Brooks, when you listen to Churches of Christ, I believe it all in my heart. That's the first time you ever hear truth. You're not going to hear the truth about salvation from these worldly churches thought about being in. They're making a lot of money, though. Joel Osteen making a killing. T.D. Fink, Joel Osteen, Creflo Counterfeit Dollar, then Franklin Graham's son, carrying on the lie on national TV. Oh, my friends, just stay where you are right now, accept Jesus in your heart, then go find you a church. You know, Jesus never told nobody to say, accept Jesus in your heart. Nobody. He said, obey from the heart. Mean, believe it and obey from the heart of that form of doctrine. Let me close with a Mother's Day special relationship I think would help you. If you're on the call, you want to get baptized, I would encourage you to consider this text in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. I would like for you to consider this special mother's relationship here. If you would just turn there as I close. That's Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 46. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 46. It would be a good text for you to underline in your Bible, carry it with you today on this Mother's Day. I close with a Mother's Day text. I think it'll be a blessing to all of us. If you ever had one in a relationship with a mother, then listen to this. What Jesus said in verse 46 here, as I get to it. Jesus said this. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without. Come on, his physical mom and daddy. Desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, talking about Jesus, behold, thy mother and thy brother stand without, desiring to speak with you. They say, hey, your mom and daddy want, your mom and your brothers are here, they want to talk to you. Look what Jesus said. He answered, said unto him, that told him, he asked the question, he said, who is my mother and who are my brethren? Verse 49, he stretched forth his hand toward all the people that obeyed his disciples. He said, y'all see all these people that obey? These disciples, followers of Christ. Look at them. That's my mama and my brother. That's a family relationship. And whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same as my brother, my sister, and my mama. You want to be in this family? You got to do what Jesus is. And then you have brothers, sisters, and mothers in the family of God. And a father who is in heaven. And a son who is there with an arm not stretched this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Wouldn't you come to Jesus this morning? Come to him. Number one, you come by hearing. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Acts 15 and verse 7. You got to hear and believe. What you got to hear? The gospel. The words of the gospel is the death, burial, the story I told. How he suffered, he came, he lived, they killed him. He suffered to save you so you could be in this family. Who was my brother, Jesus said. Those, all those. My brothers, sisters, and mama. He didn't recognize his physical mom at the time. He was in the family of all those who obey. You believe that? Then you believe that Jesus actually done all this for you? Then you'll repent. Say, I got to change. I didn't know I was wrong. I thought I was okay. I thought my baptism was fine. But then remember the guys in Acts 19. They didn't question anything. Paul just said, what y'all get baptized for? When they heard this, when they heard that they were lost, they were baptized. And that's what you have to do. That's repentance. Confess that Jesus Christ, Son of God. I took the Acts 8 a while ago. That man said, I believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God. Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, if you confess me before me, and I confess you before my Father. Deny me, I'll deny you. And last, but the next step, fifth step, is to be baptized for the remission of sins. I gave you all the scripture for that this morning. And then lastly, after that, number six, teaching them to observe all things Jesus said after he commanded Matthew 28. Teach them to live the life of a Christian. There's no such thing once saved, always saved. You can be saved today and lost tomorrow if you stop living the way Jesus says live in the Bible. So if you're on the call this morning and you're a Christian, we beg you to come home through repentance and confession. If you're on the call today and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I've appealed to you all through the sermon. And you need to come. You need to come and render your body to be buried with Christ for the remission of your sins. Water is ready. The Bible said, angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repent. Angels on standby. Water is ready. When you come and receive an invitation song by hitting 5-star on your phone, let us know your name, where you are. If you're not in Houston, where we are. We'll find you a Church of Christ. We'll find somebody baptized. I'm sure I can do it today. That's how confident I am. We believe in Church of Christ. You are not saved until you get baptized. This is not a ceremony. You wait for 3 months and get all your family there. Because tomorrow ain't promised. This is a baptism of obedience to be saved immediately. And then you go tell your family they're saved. You are saved and you want them to be saved. It's not something you plan as if everything is okay for another 3 months. Another week, another 2 weeks. Something you do immediately. So if you want to do that, we will help you. If you're a member of the Church of Christ, I've appealed to you. Maybe you and some of these categories I'm talking about, maybe you just left the Lord. You understand you're lost again? You need to come home. If you never baptized for the right reason, you need to get it right. And maybe you need to confess that you've sinned. If you need to confess your sin, you can do all that. We got a way of doing it by hitting 5-star. Okay, David, you can go ahead and hit your invitation.